Thank God it's Free Range. You are listening to Free Range Radio Friday with your host, Michael Elves. Pour yourself a beverage and turn up the volume, because here on 101.5 UMFM, the weekend starts now.
Thank you. 101.5 UMFM, this is Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. I'm Michael Elves, and kicking things off for us tonight, My Tears Ricochet from Taylor Swift's Folklore. That one's going out to my youngest child, Isley, who celebrated a birthday yesterday, and the biggest Swiftie I know. The two of us love Folklore especially. That track is not my favorite track on the record, but I know it's one of Isley's favorites. We got a busy show for you tonight. Lots of great new music. And also an interview that I recorded with Tara Tsudzen of Illuminati Hotties. They just released the new album Power last week. I got the chance to talk to them about making the record. But before we get to that, we got more songs for you. We got a new single featuring Taylor Swift, not a Taylor Swift original. This is Gracie Abrams with a single called Us. Then we got something from local act Stephanie Westall, Canadian singer-songwriter Paige Warner. We got some new Biba Doobie, The Haleys, and Honey Glaze, amongst some others in this set. Keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM.
I know you know, it felt just like a joke. I show you don't, and now we're talking. I know your ghost, I see her through the smoke. She'll play her show, and you'll be watching. And if history's clear, someone always ends up in ruins. And what seemed like fate becomes, what the hell was I doing? Babylon lovers hanging lifetimes on a vine. Do you miss my?
Oh, you were real, not just in my head. Only a fantasy when I lay in my bed. I want you so bad. I dreamed you from someplace, somewhere, some land. Far away lover, hand in my hand. I want you so bad. And I breathe.
Yeah. one's too many. I've seen my heart, so get up and walk away.
Call me up to call my bluff now. inside. I always wear pink.
Pretty girls make me feel bad. I want nothing to do with that. Pretty girls make me feel bad. I want nothing to do with that.
We'll be right back.
Back here on Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. Right before the break, new single from Katie J. Pearson. That one was Maybe. Honey Glaze with a new one called Pretty Girls. Can't wait for that full length. They've released a couple of singles so far, and they are fantastic. The Haleys off of their self-titled record with Coming Soon. Biba Doobie with my favorite off of the new album, This Is How Tomorrow Moves. That was California. We heard Paige Warner and Stephanie Westall. Coming up in just a few minutes, my interview with Sarah Tudson of Illuminati Hotties talking about the new record Power. Just came out. Really great record. But before we get to that, Dauphin's own Desiree Dorion has a new single out called Ghost. This is it here on 101.5 UMFM.
Don't want to see your face. Don't want to hear your name. Don't want to go where you go. Just in case, don't wanna feel you there. Don't wanna breathe the same air. You're not gonna haunt me. I ain't gonna be scared by your ghost. Oh, no. Oh, 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 oh. I burned a picture of us since our love.
Well, Illuminati Hotties' new album, Power, out now. Sarah Tudson joins me to talk about the making of the record. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going good, and excited to get the chance to talk to you about this record. Really great follow-up to the last record, and I was reading some really interesting stuff about kind of the genesis of this record. But in the meantime, you've been doing production for a lot of other folks, and I'm curious, like, are you taking stuff that you've learned working on other people's records and applying it to Power? Like, did you find that you were kind of building a whole new toolbox?
Yeah. I mean, I'm always adding to the toolbox. I think the fact that I get to spend so much time in the studio with other artists and see how people's brains work and how they're sort of what tools they reach for sonically, all adds to like my overall production process. And every session I do, I feel like I either accidentally stumble upon or learn something from someone else. Just learn a new like thing that I can use in the arsenal of like ways to make sound.
Yeah, because as I think it was a guitar.com interview that I read that you talked about kind of like using production more than even instruments at this point. Like you feel that like you can kind of wring more out of kind of the board than you can a specific instrument?
Definitely. I mean, we have so many tools now that make making music easy, I guess, in a way. Like, you know, not to say that it's that you that well, yeah, I mean anybody can do it, I guess. And it's gotten to a point in my life where I just shred harder at Pro Tools and creating sounds and miking things the way that I think is going to be the most emotionally impactful. I shred harder at that than I shred at guitar or drums or any sort of like musical instrument in a traditional sense. And I love to bring people together who are better at their instruments than I am to like create the most surreal, most like buff version of a tune.
So is this like you've reached a point where you can kind of go beyond what you're capable of in some sense? Like you would have had some limitations if it was just the guitar that you were recording, whereas now maybe you were hearing something in your head that you couldn't achieve with an instrument per se?
Totally. I think that like with the way technology is and sampling and you know synthesis, digital synthesis being at such a high level, like we can create any sound that we want to hear out of nothing. And at the same time, like as a producer, I sort of feel like a film director where I have the opportunity to suspend disbelief on a record. And so not only am I trying to capture like an emotionally moving performance, but I'm also sort of able to like create a super take of what I feel is like the best execution and the best intent behind the sounds that like make a recording of a song. So in that way, you know, I think that there's a lot of bands that I love that the magic just comes from the live performance and their records also reflect that. But there's also so much we have the ability to do, and we have not only the ability to capture the best performance, but also manipulate audio into kind of like a performance that then, you know, will be chasing to recreate live. I think that I'm not really concerned when I'm making records with like how it's going to go live. I'm concerned with how it's impactful in the recorded and listening environment. And then live, you know, you can figure out ways to do it.
So you treat those as like two separate concerns.
Yeah, definitely. With most bands, I think there's some bands that just sort of have the magic, and the magic is in their interaction and their live performance with each other, like perhaps a Big Thief type band. But there's even on Big Thief records, there's a lot of suspended disbelief, and there's a lot of like odd sounds and tape loops and things that they made in the studio.
So if you're the filmmaker in this in the analogy that you made raised there, like do you have a storyboarding process? Like are you kind of mapping out what an album's going to be in that same sense?
In this case, I didn't. I've always wanted to sort of create an album from the top down like that. But I'm still approaching it as a songwriter, and like the songs come first. And I do just sort of write to be writing. And then once I've collected like a large chunk of songs that I feel ready to go into the studio with, I start to realize how they fit together. And it, you know, I for this record at least, I wasn't like thinking about what pieces are missing to create like an album sequence, you know?
Now, I think it was in Rolling Stone that you, for a while, were kind of like getting up in the morning and just writing something. And then you went to Joshua Tree and kind of made a more kind of like concerted effort to create songs rather than just ideas. Is that kind of the like the process? Am I getting that right?
Yeah, it's definitely how a lot of the record was made, was just kind of like noodling on stuff every single day and determining later whether or not, like, how far I wanted to take it along the recording process. And then the Joshua Tree sort of retreat from reality was kind of just a way to cut out all the distractions, because when I'm home, it's so easy to, like, you know, do the dishes or take the dogs for a walk or, do mix notes for another band. Like, there's so many things ways I can procrastinate on making my own music, and to give myself sort of like both limitations in terms of like how much physical gear I could bring up there, and also space to create without needing to answer the phone or, you know, do sort of the normal business things that happen every day, it sort of allowed for the album to blossom in a way that wasn't happening just in my normal routine.
The limitations on gear and taking gear, was that to kind of like hone in on what the song's roots were, or just like,
definitely,
I don't have to
yeah.
lug all this stuff?
Both, you know, I didn't want to have to bring my whole studio. Like I think that was just out of pure laziness, not having to carry all this stuff myself from like to my car and then into a new place. But also, yeah, just a way to like rely on like the least amount of tools to make the best song. So it was like, if I just have a drum machine, two guitars, a tape machine, and then a laptop, like what can I make using that, you know? And that's like even more than I think that you would need to make a great record. I just was bringing a few like fun toys that I wanted to inspire myself with.
So the like emotional territory of this record, it's kind of two different halves of a whole, right? There's the grief aspect and then there's the like joy and love aspect. Did you hesitate at all about kind of like putting the two together, or was this because this was the most honest reflection of what was going on in your life that both these things were happening kind of simultaneously?
Yeah, exactly that. It was honest and it just was happening, and whether or not I didn't set out to talk about either of those things, and I certainly didn't want to talk about either of those things in most cases, but without me really trying, like that's the music that came out of me.
Now, when you say you didn't want to, like, is that because it's like sharing your grief would be a difficult thing to like perform a song and reminisce about your mom if you're going to have to play it live?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not like a naturally very vulnerable person. And I feel like even being honest with myself and like self-reflective was like too much reality for me. And I was emotionally avoidant at every turn I could take, you know?
Is that why you had to wrestle this album to the ground? I know that you'd been quoted as saying that's what you had to do with this record. Was that kind of like convincing yourself to be honest like that?
Definitely was a huge part of it. And yeah, I mean, I think like in some of like the darker moments of the album, there was just like a natural mental block of like, how do I even like look at this song objectively and like finish it as a producer? I sort of have to look at the song as like a creator and an artist, but also as like an objective ear. And I was like, it's not really fair of myself to like be objective about something that's just like my own subjective emotional content.
So how do you go about applying kind of that objectivity as the producer to something you're obviously inextricably tied to?
I think that focusing on the music is a big part of it, and kind of just saying like, okay, how do I make this the best song? You know, like, what do I want to be coming off of the speakers? That's kind of the main way, I think, you know, before I get too into the nitty gritty of like how to like highlight lyrics and stuff, I kind of just think about like, what's the best arrangement here?
And then like, do you get a trusted set of outside ears to like kind of weigh in on that if you're that close to the material, or do you just kind of trust your gut?
I mostly trust my gut. I mean, in the case of this album, I do have a few collaborators that I, you know, hadn't previously had on other records. I spent like a week or so with John Congleton at his studio, chopping through a lot of stuff and kind of like refining, you know, the recorded elements of all these songs. And he's really good about like maintaining emotional distance and just figuring out how to best serve the song and making decisions quickly without too much deliberation. And I think like he really taught me a lot as far as like, if it's not working, like don't try and cram it in this song, like just get rid of it and, you know, keep moving.
So the track listing, like the way that the album flows, I mean, this kind of maybe ties back to that filmmaker thing. Like, are you thinking of it in terms of sequencing and storytelling? Like, how do you decide kind of what goes where?
There's definitely a bit of storytelling there. Like, I do want songs to be like, to have like a connective thread. There's also just a bit of musical programming. Like I'm thinking about it a little bit as like maybe a concert director or something would, of like, how does this feel to someone when, like, if the song, if the tempo is slower now, do I want it to feel like there's a lift in the key? Like, do I want it to be in a higher key and continue the momentum forward? Or like, does, is it good to have like sort of like an emotional relief point here where like maybe the energy, you know, has a little bit of a lull, or like, is we, do we allow people to breathe a little more here? So, you know, there's like a bit of storyline, but like, for me, I think what's most important is like that you want to keep listening to the next song. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, sonic, like how your brain perceives sonicism, whether that's like tempo, key, arrangement, how loud or soft something feels compared to the thing before it.
Like flow and dynamism, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So then obviously the lead off tracks, it's Can't Be Still. And the first lyrics you say are, I can't be still. Like, was it important to kind of like start with that like energy and like inability to sit still?
Definitely. Yeah. I think that is like has been an evergreen feeling in my life. And in times of sort of emotional distress or confusion, I've just relied on my restlessness to find things for me to do.
This album has like some serious like pop hook to it, and it really like kind of emphasizes the pop and pop punk. Like, how intentional was that?
Extremely intentional. I love pop music, and I think that I'd love to sort of be considered a contemporary with the other pop greats and the other pop rock greats. And like, what's most important to me is like human connectivity on a record. And the easiest way to do that is like make something that people want to sing.
For sure. Now, the other term that I'd heard you apply to the music is tender punk. And I'm wondering if you kind of explain what you mean by that.
Absolutely. I mean, I came from a punk background, and I've always sort of approached life and music with a bit of punk ethos. But punk didn't feel like it fully captured what I was doing. And at the time, also, like when I started Illuminati Hotties, indie rock also wasn't like necessarily a catch-all in the same way. But tender punk felt right to me. And I just, you know, like approach life with sort of like a bit of like a, I'm not allowed to curse, huh?
We can edit it.
I kind of feel like there's a bit of a huffy attitude with punk rock that that I loved, but that was leaving some emotional content out of like what I was doing. And I do approach life also with sensitivity and with tenderness and like, you know, a little more depth to punk.
That actually brings up one of the lyrics on the record that I wanted to ask you about. It was on What's the Fuzz? You say, living's easier when you're stupid. And mm-hmm. It just made me think of like that punk, like there is kind of like a nihilistic thread to punk where it's like, who cares? But the tender side of things, if you're talking about being tender, is caring and empathy.
Of course.
Like, do you think about like, man, if I didn't care as much, or if I was a dummy, like life would be easier than like caring and kind of.
Think about it every single day. I really like do care. And I think that part of myself is responsible for like a lot of the good things in my life. And then at the same time, I'm like, man, it would be nice to just be brain off, coasting around, going to the grocery store, you know?
That you'd be like kind of like obliviously happy.
Yeah. I think there is, you know, bliss in ignorance. And I don't feel like we live in a world where that's really even a possibility. But
no, it's a dangerous thing, it seems like, right now. It's been weaponized.
Exactly. But yeah, you know, like if I think that a lot of people would agree that if they cared a little less, like a lot of the stress in their life would disappear.
We were talking earlier about, you know, like achieving things in the studio that you couldn't necessarily do with an instrument. Was there anything you wanted to do that you just couldn't pull off for this record, or were you able to kind of get everything that was in your head?
I don't think I've ever like pulled off everything I set out to do on a record. But that's just the process of making records, is you shoot for like the highest possible quality of product, or like you're aiming to make sort of like the earmark of your career at the present moment. And I think that every single record falls short of like maybe where they want to be, but at the same time, like where I've managed to land is something I'm really proud of. And I don't know if there's like a specific example. I think like there's always songs that don't get finished that I felt like had a lot of potential but didn't like get to the end goal, or something that end up on the cutting room floor. But yeah, I kind of feel like that's how projects go, is you just sort of imagine like the 10 out of 10 greatest possible version you could create. And even if it's not that, it ends up being something that feels 10 out of 10.
It's that aim for the moon, you'll still be at the stars kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sarah, before I let you go, I want to get you to pick a track off Power we can play for listeners. And if you have a reason why you're picking it, or an anecdote about it, I'd love to hear that.
Well, I think a song that ended up not being a single, but I do feel like had some single worthy elements to it that I'm really proud of, is Falling in Love with Somebody Better.
All right. Well, we'll give that one a listen. Illuminati Hotties, Power is out now. Sarah, thanks very much for taking some time, and congratulations on the release of the new record.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Falling in love with somebody better. 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 One fluttered eyelid is not
asleep or awake. So with steps adjacent to patience, we'll make ourselves a prairie of reverie. A windmill waits for the wind to blow, like a glacier race into the great unknown, like a simile. I will love you, you're my simile. I will love you.
Back here on Thank God It's Free Range, the Friday edition of Free Range Radio. You just heard Theresa Thor with a simile off of the new album Reverie. They were my guest on the show a couple weeks back talking about that EP. Just celebrated the album release at the West End Cultural Center. I recommend you check that one out, as well as Devin Gillingham's album. There's a person in here. Both of those albums released at the same time. Before the break, Goldie Batelier with The Angel and the Saint, that's a new single, and Illuminati Hotties with Falling in Love with Somebody Better off of Power. My thanks. My thanks to Sarah Tudson for taking some time to talk about that record. Gonna play you some more music before we hand things over to After Eight Radio. This one came out much earlier this year, but I was revisiting some stuff that I dug from the beginning of the year, starting to kind of start thinking about album of the year lists, and was really taken with this song on re-listen. UK act Limegarden with the song It off of One More Thing. Then we got a new single from Jordana, something from New Zealand's Alyssa Zylith, and then a brand new Chloe Pelgag single. Love Chloe. Always excited to receive some new stuff from them. Keep it locked here on 101.5 UMFM.
So hold me tightly as I begin transcend into a new being. Wipe my brow and focus in, 'cause I've accepted this is it. Don't treat it lightly, this love I feel. To be with you is to be real, but somehow it's just not enough. And I've accepted this is it. And I accept I'm on my own, that I can run, that I can own. But don't you feel like at 17 you had it all, but now it's real. It feels like you lost the deal. It feels like you lost the deal. I
Thank you. is done, have some fun. Stay in school, don't be a fool.
Yeah.